I'd like to acknowledge that both the press and the public are duly notified in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. Before I get started, I want everybody to realize that this is not a night where we're going to take citizens' comment. It's more of an educational purposes display of the history of the marina. We will have a public forum for residents to give their comments probably the first week in January, if not the second week in January. That date has not been determined yet, but this is tonight to give everybody a background on it, for council to give their input, and then we'll kind of go through there. I also like to acknowledge that we have a couple new council members who will be coming in. We got Philip Pounds here and Kevin Bobson. Okay, the purpose of tonight's meeting is a discussion of the Isle of Palms Marina visioning. But before we go into it, I'm going to let Desiree and Douglas kind of give us some background on how we got to this point today. And it's kind of interesting. And it's kind of even more interesting is Desiree did a great PowerPoint today. And it slipped through the cracks. But she was smart enough to take a picture of every one of the slides. And we have it. So I bow to you.
Yeah, we recovered it, thankfully. Okay, so the mayor asked me to open up this meeting with a quick review of the recent history of the city's efforts to address the marina challenges and opportunities, review the major concerns identified by the community, review existing leases, identify next steps, and impress upon the new incoming members of council what are some of the expectations and the decisions and issues that they're going to be handling coming January. See if they still want to do it, right?
No pressure.
So during the past 4 to 5 years, the city has had multiple meetings about the future of the marina, about how to best balance the needs of the residents, the visitors, and also the commercial entities that operate in that space. These are very tough issues. I think everybody recognizes that. And I believe that council and staff are really committed to resolving them shortly. This discussion should really be helpful to the new members of council and provide the opportunity for those who are outgoing to share their thoughts and their perspectives throughout this whole process, because you've really seen it play through this, you know, the past couple of years. So the city purchased the marina, as we all know, and like to remind ourselves, in 1999 to ensure public access to the water. Since the city purchased the marina, there has been no significant capital improvements to the site, with the exception of a 2.7 bulkhead replacement and renovation project and the replacement of the underground storage tanks. In October 2015, Applied Technology Management assisted the city with a public input campaign aimed at gathering ideas about redeveloping the Isle of Palms Marina. Most of the comments centered around preventing a dry stack from being built, noise and parking concerns, and enhancing the site for the benefit and enjoyment of the residents. During the next 2 years, the city went through a process to develop a comprehensive plan to address these concerns by making improvements to the site while meeting the city's lease obligations. This process culminated with a referendum in 2017 that asked residents whether the city should borrow $5.5 million to implement those proposed redevelopment plans. As we all know, that referendum failed. Prior to the referendum, these were some of the comments that the city received from the public input campaign related to the marina. Some of these include parking already a problem, especially on weekends when many people boat. I believe we should improve the access and parking by way of a new entrance and a paved parking lot. Parking in the surrounding neighborhood is awful. Our marina is small and has a limit as to how many people, boats, cars, trailers it can accommodate. After the referendum failed, the city council made some changes to the parking plan to address some of these concerns. That overflow parking from the commercial operation of the marina was affecting the residential neighborhoods. These changes included limiting parking on 41st Avenue to residents only, and eliminating trailer parking on Waterway Boulevard from 41st Avenue and Forest Trail. This change has greatly consolidated parking within the marina site. Currently, non-residents, this plan is year-round. So currently, non-residents can no longer park their vehicles or trailers either on 41st Avenue or Waterway Boulevard. I think that we can all agree that these changes were positive and significantly improved or reduced, I guess, the negative impacts of the marina's commercial operation into the residential neighborhoods. A number of comments that the city received during that process also echoed that any plans for the marina should enhance residents' access and enjoyment of the marina site. Some of these comments that we picked out of a multitude of comments that we received throughout that process included, the marina was purchased as a resource to the residents of the island. If we have paid off this property, it is time to repurpose it for the benefits of the residents. The marina was purchased by the city as a resource to the residents of the island. The operation of each of these must be scaled appropriately to the surrounding residential neighborhoods. In case anybody forgot, this is a copy of the plan that was presented to the community for a referendum that failed. Despite the failed referendum, the city's obligation under the current marina operations lease include the repair and replacement of the bulkhead, pilings, fuel dock office, the fuel pumping station system, sewer pump out, the electrical system, among other things. Recognizing that the docks have reached the end of their useful life, the city, after a request for proposals process, again engaged with ATM to develop a couple of concepts and estimates to replace the docks facing Morgan Creek. Those are depicted in that drawing in blue, green, and yellow. ATM presented two concepts in October of 2018, and earlier this year in January, City Council agreed to move forward with Concept 2. Here's a picture of Concept 2, which involves replacing the docks in kind as much as possible, making them ADA compliant while using up-to-date design standards. This concept extends the outside dock roughly 30 feet into Morgan Creek, which is depicted in yellow, and the area next to the boat ramp is closed for safety concerns. Concept 2 also adds a small dock to the intercoastal side of Phase 1, again depicted in yellow. The permit application for this work was submitted earlier this summer to OCRM and the Army Corps of Engineers. It went through the public comment period, received no comments, and it's currently being under review by the permitting agencies. Soon, the city will need to identify a funding strategy for the cost of construction, which could begin as early as fall and winter of 2020. Along with the replacement of the Morgan Creek docks, the city also needs to dredge the marina and recoat the bulkhead. The estimated cost of all those improvements is $4.3 million, which we discussed during the budgeting process. So now we've talked about the recent history of the marina, the upcoming dock replacement project, and now we'll move on to some of the upland challenges. There are several challenges with the existing marina site. The site is divided amongst four leases. Two of those do not expire until 2045. The other two expire in 2020. Historically, during the summer season, the marina site has not been able to accommodate the parking needs that are being generated by the activity on the site. Another issue is that the zoning code requirements and the leases are not aligned with each other. We can't say that the site is not compliant with the zoning code related to parking because the code doesn't really address a marina site with so many different entities operating within it. However, the city's goal, even though we are okay with the zoning from the zoning standpoint, our goal really should be to align the leases to the zoning requirements depending on that use. Here is a drawing that where you can see the areas that are designated to each tenant. Those areas in red are under current leases that expire in 2045. Those are the Marina Outpost lease and the Marina Joint Ventures. The areas in blue represents the dock and the parking and building for the Marina restaurant that's currently under lease until October 2020. In green, you can see the dock that's currently being leased by Tidal Wave Water Sports and also the upland area currently assigned to their lease. In orange, you can see the shared parking area that's supposed to be shared among the tenants under the direction of the marina operator. And in yellow, it's showing the 41st Avenue, which is currently obviously owned by the city and managed by the city. And I'm really trying to depict the right-of-way there that's available for residential parking. We'll now review, do a quick review of the current marina leases. Marina Joint Ventures has been a marina operator since 1999. That existing lease was extended in 2015 until 2045. The average annual rent since FY07 is $168,000. The average annual expenditures, not including depreciation, since FY07 are $65,000. Therefore, the average annual net income to the city is $103,000.
Before you go further, does this include transfers in from tourist funds?
This is rent revenue from the marina.
So this does not include any of the tourist incomes?
Correct. This is just rent revenue. The Marina Outpost, which we all know as the Marina.
Sorry, can I ask one quick question on
sure.
the other one? depreciation and also the deferred maintenance, is that, like, we've got this massive expense in the docks that has accrued. Is that taken into consideration when we look at depreciation? I know I'm not, like, super versed in accounting standards, but we have this deferred maintenance on other assets, so I assume there's deferred maintenance on here as well.
The expense number only includes actual spent
actual
money.
Spent money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The average annual spent
money. Mayor, if I may.
Yes, sir.
The problem viewing this number, this is since 2007. If you were to take a 3-year to 5-year view, your average expenditures are tremendous because we spent $750,000 on fuel tank replacement and other issues. So by skewing this back this far, you had a large period where there were almost no expenditures, followed by the current state we're in right now is very high expenditure. So I would suggest if we're going to look at this, that we get a much closer in view. And I'd love this if this were $65,000 a year on average, but that's not where we're at.
Well, the capital expenditure associated with the bulkhead and the underground storage tank replacement is not included in expense anywhere. So what you have, it's a capital outlay. So what you have in front of you, if you want to look at just the past 3 years, that data's here. You could, you know, add it up. But the capital additions would not be included in the expense number if you just looked
just
at the most recent 3 years.
I don't know the accounting. I just suggest that we look at the total picture, including capital outlay. That's where we're at right now, is the capital outlay portion that's staring us right in the face. So,
yeah, and for anybody who's interested, all of these numbers are included in the current FY20 budget, and the historical trends, all of that is there available.
Okay, thank you.
And just to add to John and Randy's comments, we heard that number before, $4.3 million that needs to go into the marina. Those docks are our responsibility, and we got to bring them back up to shape. Yes, ma'am.
So can you give a better picture of when you say annual expenditures there, just a little more descriptive of what that means?
They're mainly small maintenance and also insurance.
The detail is included in the packet.
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we'll post the presentation and the financial documents that you received. We'll post them online as well.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Marina Outpost has been a tenant of the city since 2008. That lease also expires January 2045. The annual average annual rent is $82,000. Oh, did I not? Oh, sorry. Thank you. The average annual expenditures, again, not including depreciation, $7,000, and the average annual net income to the city would be $75,000. Same thing with expenditures, includes insurance and some minor maintenance. Tidal Wave Water Sports. They have been a tenant at the Marina site since 1992. Their lease expires September of 2020. The current lease was assigned to the owners in 2006. The average annual rent to the city is $21,000. Annual expenditure around $6,000, with an average annual net income of $15,000. On April 23rd, 2019, the city council voted not to renew the existing lease. This year, the city, as you we've talked before, I've reported before, we learned that we became aware that the dock structure was not under the city's name and was not properly permitted by state and federal agencies. So to correct that, the city again engaged a change order with ATM to pursue a separate permit, a new permit for that location, to make the existing structure in operation compliant with a new permit. That joint permit application has been completed and should be submitted to the permitting agencies tomorrow. I just have to sign on the dotted line. Next steps include getting the permit approved by both OCRM and the Army Corps, and also a decision by City Council about the future use of that dock, whether it will continue to be leased for water sports activities or any other purpose, and if Council decides to lease that dock for water sports activities, it needs to decide the process by which to obtain a new lease and the terms of any new lease agreement. Finally, the fourth lease that the city has at the marina is with Barrier Isles LLC, also known as Morgan Creek Grill. They have been a tenant of the city since 2002. That lease expires on October 31st, 2020. The average annual rent since FY07 is $120,000. The average annual expenditure, not including depreciation, is $14,000. And the average annual net income to the city, roughly $106,000. On September 25th, 2018, Council decided to pursue the request for proposals method to obtain a new lease for the use of the restaurant. The city engaged Lee and Associates to develop a favorable lease strategy for the city, also manage the lease, the RFP process, and advise during contract negotiations. Those proposals were received on Friday, August 30th, and they included, there were three, which were one from the current tenant, one from Lowe Ravenel Commercial Properties and the Owl Palms Marina, and then a third one from the Lorenz and Bushnell Group. Those proposals were presented to the public on a public presentation September 26. A video of that meeting is online. The city also created a page on the website for residents to submit comments and responses to the three proposals. As of today, approximately 80 residents have submitted comments through this portal, and those have been distributed to City Council for your review, and I'm sure that you all will take them into consideration during the decision-making process. The city, this council has been consistent in encouraging and valuing public input during this process with the goal of ensuring that any decisions that are made there can align with the wants and needs of the community. All right, so finally, some takeaways for the group, and hopefully to facilitate the discussion that may ensue, is one, the city is in the process of preparing a preparing for a $4.3 million project in FY21 to replace the docks, dredge the marina, and recoat the bulkhead. Funding has not yet been identified. We expect that the cost estimates will be refined, and funding will be identified as part of the FY21 budget process, which will begin starting January 2020. The city is also in the process of evaluating different proposals for the use and improvements and a possible reconstruction of the Alpalms Marina. Later in this meeting, we'll have executive session, and you will hear from Lee and Associates on developments during that contract negotiation process. And third, City Council needs to decide the future of the use currently leased by the water sports operation.
Desiree, that was great.
Oh.
Kirby, I'm sorry.
She's hired.
She's hired. let me assure everybody, this is just given information that's going to be posted online. There's not going to be any decisions made tonight. When we go into executive session, of course no decisions are being made tonight. So I don't want anybody to think that we're doing anything behind anybody's back. This is for us to get a good, solid understanding, and we are going to engage the residents of Isle Palms before we have that public forum, and during that public forum, we can see what our residents want, because you, the residents, are our boss. So I'm going to open it up for council for comments. Yes, ma'am.
And we have talked about this before, but I was hoping to get a better understanding, if you have it, looking back at the history, when the conversation around the referendum of providing access to the water, whether that was meant to be accessed through boating and kayaking and that kind of thing, or whether there was a larger sense of access to, say, enjoying the water more in a park kind of format or through waterside dining. Do you have any information along those lines?
Well, what I can say is the referendum question, which was the question that was presented to the community, was to ensure public access to the water. That is what's on the record. I do believe that there was an intent or an understanding from the community that it meant public access to the residents of the Isle of Palms, since it would be a city of Isle of Palms marina. But all I have to go with is the actual question that was on the ballot, where residents voted overwhelmingly to buy the marina and keep the marina for the city.
I would be curious to go back in the minutes and maybe look at news clippings of what the publicity was around that, just to have a better understanding. I've had residents come who were here then tell me that their understanding was this meant, among other things, not just voting, but something more than that, in allowing residents to enjoy the water even if they weren't voting.
Desiree, if I may?
Sure, absolutely.
Can you put it on a master plan slide?
Yes.
I might be able to shed a little bit of light on that.
Concept two?
So we took a lot of public comment during this process. We had several stakeholder groups come in. We had a website where we garnered public comments about what the residents wanted to see at the site. We met with all the leaseholders and general public and council at that time, and really worked closely with a variety of committees, especially the Rural Property Committee, who were getting feedback from the residents all the while. And residential use of the project really encompassed a lot of different things. It was boat ramp access, it was dockage space dedicated for the residents to make sure that we had all the residents' dockage needs accommodated. It was public park green space here, where I think one of the public comments, and this is in the book that was provided as part of our deliverable for the project, so you can kind of go back and see all the public comments. But it was public space around the marina, a lawn, a green space here, kind of a public park, where people, I think the big comment was, people didn't want to feel like they had to buy something when they went to the marina. It is more to go down and experience it. We had a city dock down here that could encourage public shrimping or fishing with the grandkids.
sitting out on the dock and relaxing, and then it had, you know, the various different uses that were on site. We had kind of wave water sports in here providing that active center. We had a restaurant maintained in this area, the store maintained in this area, and then improved parking and circulation throughout. Pedestrian access was something else that was a big key for residents. Being able to have a safe walking and bicycle path, safe paths around and through the parking lots that were defined, that kind of funneled people in the right area as opposed to where it is right now, which is kind of a hodgepodge. So all of those things, landscaping, beautification, something that would give the residents a sense of pride. Those were all components of it, and a lot of that is listed in the master planning book that we provide.
And that's super. I was actually talking about the original referendum, the
1999.
And so I was curious to know more about what that conversation was and how it was presented beyond just what was on the ballot to the voters.
I can look into that, maybe somebody.
Yes, ma'am.
Since this is my last opportunity to give my vision of what the marina should look like, it's interesting that I took that picture, and I will take one and pass it along. Basically, what I think we have been doing is trying to put too much on a 5-acre lot. And for me, you can't do everything for everybody when you have a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit there. So in this document, what I have done is basically, go back to the other picture.
This?
Nope, that one. Okay. It said, conceptually, let's look at the launch. Where do we launch our boat? Right in the middle of the property. So look on this picture, let's look at everything to the right of that launch and create what I've called the Isle of Palms Waterway Park, and have a whole line of natural growth in hedges from that site on over, and you can create a park on that site. You can make it passive. We can get the greenbelt funds. We can do all sorts of different things in terms of being something that the residents and visitors can come to, and to have park benches, have the docks rather than being commercial, have them be where you look at birds and where you fish and where you learn about what this whole ecosystem is, much like a lot of the other riverfront parks that you see in Greenville and even North Charleston and those areas. We have the opportunity to say, okay, that side is going to be green, that side is going to be passive, and we can bring in little vendors like ice cream and all that sort of thing. We have a restaurant that is family friendly, that is saying, okay, we're going to be geared to families, we're going to have outside activities, and just think in your minds, don't think about what we can't do because we've got a 30-year lease. This is the vision. This is a vision. How do we get there is going to be difficult, but if we say this is what we would like to have, then let's have that vision. The other side, God bless you, fishermen, you've got your boats, you got your trailers, you got your fish, you got, you know, all of that. Make that commercial. Let them be as marine-centered as they want to be. You don't have to have green grass over there, because if you do, those boat trailers are going to tear it up. So have it commercial. It can be a commercial look of a site. But on the other side, let's really look at what we could do to not only beautify it, but make it something more that we can use. Benches, swings. Dock space is reserved for residents because we've had a hard time getting any dock space on the other side. Put a gazebo out there, either on one of those docks or on the land site. You can have weddings there. You can have small birthday parties. Other communities have done this and make money from it. The vendors, playgrounds, picnic tables. The green space that we create, we could partner with the garden clubs, with some volunteer committees. We can go for creating a 501c3 fund, Ted, and be able to raise money, raise money for specific things, and it's a tax deduction. So these things have been done in other places, but that's what, to me, is a vision. A vision isn't looking at what we can't do. A vision is to say, okay, in my mind, that's what I'd like to see happen. That's what I'd like to bring my grandchildren to. And then on the other side, you make them as commercial and as profitable as they can be. And in terms of, we're going to spend, what, $3 million on docks? You notice when Desiree was going through all the things we've got to pay for, not one of that was on the bright side. None of it was over there in the green space. It was all on the commercial side. Now, it has to be done. I realize that. But in our minds, we can have both if we really, really put our minds to it. So, Mr. Mayor, that's my vision.
Sammy, that's a great vision. The only question I do have, and I'm going to throw this out to Desiree and to Kirby, I think there's an orange square in there that we have joint use parking.
Yes. But in my document here, I'm saying I haven't seen a contract yet that you can't negotiate. There must be something that little orange spot can be either moved to another spot, we'll give up this if you give up that, but we never talk in those terms. We just say, but that's there and we can't do it. So let's think the other way. Let's say, okay, if we really want to make this happen, it may take us a longer time, but let's look at some of those negotiation things that we might be able to do. Just don't say we can't do it.
Thank you very much. That was a great presentation. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I always hate the numbers part, but I do it anyway. The reason I asked Ms. Suggs about the finances, we do about $430,000 in income per year. And I think we're a little bit schizophrenic on how we treat it. It's either there for commercial purposes, generating in large part the revenues to cover expense, or it's there for some portion back to the residents. And for those that attend real property, I usually use the term residential return on investment. And many people have said, you have to have a commercial transaction. In fairness to Brian and others, you really don't. But there really is no parking. There's no place for the public to go. I don't blame any tenant for our bad leases. I blame prior administration and city council for it. This is an opportunity for us. And the thing that I think we all need to look at, we talk about the restaurant. We talk about shared parking. Shared parking in the lease says insofar it doesn't interfere with marina operation. Pretty broad, pretty subjective, difficult to manage. I know myself and prior chairs of real property have tried to go through that process with the tenants. Doesn't work, right? So we have confusion that's going to still be there going forward. One thing we did with this picture, if you look at from Waterway to the terminus of 41st at the Intercoastal, we have a fair amount of parking places under city purview. So as we look at the rest of what we do, we don't have to do a land grab within the marina to accommodate the zoning ordinances that require one parking place per four seats to the table. Right, so we've been pretty careful in real property to try to go through and say, you know, what can we do? And it's not a debate whether one tenant is there or not there. It's how do we take this, I'm going to say once in a lifetime opportunity for most of us. I don't, Jimmy, you'll be here in 2045. Maybe.
You'll find me on the side somewhere.
Yeah. Toes up above the green. We have to really think long and hard about the restaurant, what we have, and are we at this point, prior to 2045, going to create additional public access? And I've been beaten up for it, but I've been pretty diligent about saying, let's keep the options open. Let's get the public to weigh in on what it is that we do down there and make a responsible decision, because we're not going to get to undo this decision as we go forward. That's all I've got to offer.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Okay. Here, once? Yes, sir.
Sure. And this is Gregory. Take a bit of a different approach, which I've been known to do. No one has suggested how you generate additional revenue. One of the things that's very important within a community is you've got to treat businesses consistently. So when you go to the other primary business district on the island, what do citizens, non-citizens have to do? They have to pay for parking. In theory, there's a pay for parking arrangement at the marina. In practicality, it's been very difficult to police, and so minimum revenue is raised. We also have this big issue We know what the issue is on the water side, the land side, it's parking spaces. I'll leave it up to the next council to offer you a practical solution. Negotiate with the tenants to have city-run kiosk parking. It's first come, first served. You give the citizens a bone, as we do in Front Beach, that if they have a decal, they don't pay for parking. The few weekends, and it's really limited, that it's chock-a-block down there, are people coming from off the island, non-residents. Let them pay for parking and create some equity between people that go to those businesses versus that go to other businesses and pay for parking. You've got to have equity in the way you treat businesses. And I suspect if you entered into a discussion with the tenant and made them whole in regards to any funds that they do generate from parking, or improve that, the city would generate revenue in which you can use the revenue, which I suspect, Jimmy, as we've experienced in other places, could be substantial. You can take a loan out and start to make improvements on the parking surfaces, which is a disaster. In preparation for this meeting, I went down there today. The docks are embarrassment, and that's nobody's responsibility but ours and yours in the future, gentlemen. And the parking lot is abysmal in spite of Brian's efforts earlier in the year to grade it to keep up with it. I would hope the future council creates something of which we have had considerable expenditure and public input that we can be proud of. Go there and be proud of it. But there is opportunity to raise additional revenue, make the tenants whole, support the tenants. I'm real curious who here in the dais would want to be or would want to have the city be their landlord. Anybody want to raise their hand based upon what we've experienced? All right? We're not the best landlords or our predecessors. There are some inherent problems. We're not all to blame for them, but there are some potential solutions. I offer you but one. I suspect there are a half a dozen more if we get into some of the practical issues and make people whole and don't have a them versus us relationship. And I wish you all good luck.
Anyone else?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm not making any comments tonight because I think we've set this thing up backwards. I'd like to hear from the citizens first. We haven't really heard from them. I had in whole since the referendum failed. I'd like to hear from the citizens, and we take their comments, and then we can start talking about answers. Although I will have to say, I was very impressed with Sandy's presentation.
Anyone else?
Yes, sir. I will. Real quick, thank you, Sandy. That was good. I like the way you presented that as well. And I would, while this is good informative information that we can get out to the public, I'd really like to see the new oncoming council members, you know, be involved as well. But Desiree, if you could go through a little bit more on the dock that we're having permitting problems with, the tidal wave dock, and just give us a little history in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Update everybody, because it's kind of, you kind of went over it and where we are with that, what led us to find out why we were not in compliance. The fact that the city assumed that lease when we bought the marina as well, and just some history on that, if you could.
I will certainly try.
And I might ask questions along, just to clarify along the way.
So I'll start off, and then Kirby came prepared to give a quick update on where we are with permitting currently. The city learned earlier this year about the encroachment of one of the dock of the intercoastal waterway dock. It was encroaching into the 125-foot setback. And also the last issued permit for the structure of that dock was from 1986, I believe. The city bought the marina in 1999, so we become the owner of the marina.
And that permit was in somebody else's name.
Correct.
Correct.
Even before
correct.
The current...
1995 and expired in 2000.
Correct.
Correct.
And the actual, that permit, the last issued permit, was under the previous owner's name.
Okay.
Not even Tidal Wave Waters puts
out.
Some reason, the city bought the marina. That permit was not changed to the marina, to the city's name. That is why we're going through the process to getting that changed and corrected.
Maybe we have all permits, not just...
Correct. All permits will be under the city's name. We learned about it this year, and actually part of a FOIA request that was submitted to OCRM and distributed to me, and also Kirby in that same process when they were doing their due diligence of based on the contract that the city engaged them for the improvements, we learned about the 125-foot setback issue. The survey that was included in the last issued permit did not show that dock encroaching into the waterway. What happened in between here and then? Who built it? We have discussed about, you know, when the city dredged the marina, how part of that dock collapsed. It was brought back up using the existing pilings. However, the most recent survey shows that dock encroaching.
Ryan, we actually built that dock. Remember, we were going to build a whole new dock.
Right. Well,
it was too expensive, so we decided to just fix it.
I remember. I was just for the public's knowledge that we were going through. Then the city went through, instead of replacing the dock, we went through and made some modifications so that we did not have to go back
and get a permit.
We didn't have to permit for that.
Correct.
That's why we were not made aware, really, at the time that we were out of compliance.
Correct. We went through a permitting process when the city was planning on fully replacing that dock.
Mm-hmm.
However, the cost of construction for that project was, I guess, exceeded what the city's capabilities were at that time. And the city
as well as some community uproar, too. I mean, we had some folks who did not want it as well to expand the footprint of that dock. And residents in the area did not want that footprint expanded.
Okay. That was before my time. So I guess, did I answer your question?
You're close. And then if you could, I mean, and with that permit, with that permitting process, there are certain agencies that allow certain things to go on down there for commercial activity, correct? And which ones are those?
So OCRM permits the structure.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the permitting process for the structure,
correct.
They do revise the operations and maintenance manual. They have indicated that they use some formulas, and when they evaluate the permit application, they look at the location, they look at how the proximity to residential docks and residential areas, they look at the length of the dock and how many vessels it could accommodate. So that's all part of their review process. We met with OCRM, we've met with the current tenant, and that was what was conveyed.
So they permit that, and do they set the standard, and they set what can be allowed there, and how many units or how many vessels or how many things can be launched or have in business there?
Not launched. It's more
about the
actual structure.
Okay.
So they will permit, for example, the last issued permit identified 8 jet docks. We currently have 11. The new permit application, because the decision was made to bring the existing structure in operation into compliance with the permit, is requesting for 11, which is what is there now.
And what is the time frame on that? I know we're getting ready to send it off again.
Yes, once it's submitted.
Frame, when we'll know when that will be allowed.
Mm-hmm. Once it's submitted, it's a 90-day review process where it goes out for public comment. And after that, after they receive the comments, I think it's out for public comment for 30 days. And then after that, there are 60 days for the permitting agency to review, a minimum of 60 days to review, come back to the city to make some questions. We'll respond to those. Usually, if there's no public comment, which we had with the Morgan Creek docks, that typically speeds up the process because they don't have to come back and forth getting additional information. So currently, as soon as that permit application is submitted, a 90-day period will begin.
Okay. Thanks.
Councilman Bell.
Yeah, he covered both, but just distinguish the encroachment is the Army Corps of Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
The other issues is DHEC OCRM. And so that everyone knows, contrary to what you might read, as operating, the requested permit is to allow Tidal Wave to operate as they have been operating. There was no modification to that, so it's just strictly an incredibly long permitting process, stunningly long if you come from the private sector. And you know, the city has done everything that we can with Kirby to try to keep that process moving. And I can tell you, the Real Property Committee was stunned that we wouldn't have a calendar 2019 answer on this. Because we did a nice job 2 meetings ago and explained it to all of us as well.
Anyone else on council? Yes, sir.
I'll just reiterate what Councilmember Ward said, that I think that the spirit of this council, and presumably of our newly formed council coming in, is that this is to be a reflection of what our citizens and residents and community want for the marina. And I know that's sort of a vague statement, but it's hard for us to really have a very robust visioning session right now today. This is great background, and I'm glad that there's so many folks in attendance to get the same background that we're getting. I'm sure there's things that you weren't privy to. And I would issue the challenge to speak with your neighbors, to share the resources that are available online, to encourage them to use the portal that Desiree spoke about to submit comments, because the more information, more data we have, the more this is going to be a reflection of what our island community wants.
Anyone?
Is the portal currently set up just for marina restaurants?
Yes.
Comments?
It is.
Oh,
however, you know, we're in the process of creating a new page where we're going to put all of the leases online like we had during the previous process, and also create a space for people to submit comments, which you all receiving, you all would receive directly.
I did think that went really well,
mm-hmm.
from what was provided to us. I was impressed by the comments were very intelligent and thoughtful for that we get from the community, and a large number of them. And so I appreciate everybody who took time to do that.
Councilmember Kinghorn.
Interject a little humor. I feel like it's Groundhog Day all over again. Let us all remember, we went through an exhaustive process with public comment, with public input, and that's what came out of that process.
Mm-hmm.
That's the starting point. We, and I hope future members, can overlay their vision and talk about a vision. We don't need to have a referendum on everything to tell us what to do. We've had the input. We've had the studies. We've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. I can't imagine how many staff hours have been spent. And that's the starting point. So, council, approve it. Don't approve it. Figure out how to fund it. And let's move on and have something we're proud of.
Jimmy, in the spirit of humor and I'm sitting here, you know, with the younger folks, and I'm not one of them, asking about history. As we're going through this election the other day, we now have on council with select council members, if I took just three, we collectively over 100 years of on-island living experience with our new council members coming on board. So I think when we get into the history of how things were done or why they were done, we ought to be covered pretty well.
At least I got my years in.
Not yet, maybe 200.
Just for everybody's knowledge, we are going to have a public forum to get comments from our residents. And this will be put online because this is our future. Everything that we do, this is going to be our legacy that we do down here. So, again, I think we've had great comments from up here. Kirby, is there anything that you need or want to add? I forgot to mention, Kirby Marshall ATM. We got it spoke before.
I think everybody did a great job, and we look forward to working with you to realize the residents' vision.
Okay. All right. Thank you all very much for your comments, council members, and outgoing and incoming. And now we're going to have a discussion on proposals received for the Isle of Palms Marina restaurant. Do I hear a motion to go into?
So moved.
Second.
Mayor, would you read the section?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you read the section for the executive session, please?
Executive session. In accordance with the section 3470, discussion of negotiations incident to proposed contractual arrangements related to the marina restaurant lease and consideration of legal advice regarding current leases with marina tenants. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody, thank you all for coming. This was...
I got a suggestion.
Oh, are we out?
Yeah, make sure anybody's out there, or are we out?
I'll check.
They're liking my tweets.
Okay, Chief, no decisions have been made in executive session. We are out. I have a motion to
adjourn.
Second, on favor?
Aye. Oh, yeah, there is no problem.
Or any of that that you have.
So this is financial. And then here's a copy of the presentation.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Bella. Very nice. Thank you. Yes, I'll put that tomorrow morning, first thing.
I'm an IT dinosaur. I got to read.